You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Tonight we begin a series, When a Nation Forgets God. And I'll be speaking on this subject for the next, until July the 3rd, which is a Wednesday night. And it's not going to just be how bad America is. I wouldn't preach it if I did not think there's a remedy. But the remedy does not fall on Washington, D.C. The remedy is the New Testament local church.
It's the bus ministry.
It's sending people out in the foreign fields, and thank you for going to Korea and Trinidad. Last week we had two other families going. It's part of what God's called us to do. But unless there's a revival, your children, my grandchildren, are going to see awful days ahead. Our Father, tonight, I pray that our hearts would be ready for the Word of God over these next 6 or 7 weeks, from Memorial Day to Independence Day. I'd ask that you do a great, great work in our midst tonight. Help all of us to see, as the flood passionately told us about the bus ministry, there's something we could do. There's some folks that my involvement is going to be to give some money once a month, every week, whatever it might be. Some are going to clean those buses once a month. Some will go soul winning on that bus, and others go door knocking to find riders. I don't know all that you're going to do, all we're going to do, but I believe all of us should do something to step it up to reach these boys and girls. We cannot give this task over to the government schools. We cannot give it over to private schools, even Christian schools. We must give it over to the New Testament local church. Help us to be alert tonight to the need and the opportunity to see a nation come back to thee. We think of that first great awakening in the late 1700s, when the nation became, as they called it, debauchery. So wicked, so sinful, adultery, drunkenness. And then that second great awakening in the 1800s. God, may we be part of the third great awakening, is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. When a nation forgets God, there's always consequences. I think we're all aware of the consequences. We have a corrupt government in America right now. I cannot think of one thing I have agreed with the president on in 3.5 years. Not one thing. He has a hatred toward Israel. He has a hatred toward the family. He's declared 30 days out of the year sodomy month. Easter Sunday, transvestite day. The man does not believe in securing our borders. 8.5 million people have moved in here illegal. The key word is illegal. We want the world to come here. China doesn't want the world. Russia does. Their borders are shut. But ours are open. I'm grateful that my parents, my grandparents, my wife's family were able to come to America. But they did it legally. When a nation becomes lawless, there's always criminal activity that just follows. Our government's corrupt. Our courts are corrupt. Our senators and congressmen, men and ladies, are using foul language. Not becoming a woman, not becoming a gentleman. Our government's corrupt. Our media is corrupt. Hollywood is corrupt. The NFL, the MLB, Major League Baseball, the NBA is corrupt. Corrupt. Our schools and universities are corrupt. our Bible colleges that began as Bible colleges. Yale, 1638, first Bible college in America. Yale, 16, Harvard, 1701, Yale, second Bible college. Princeton, Bible college. Dartmouth, Bible college. Bible colleges were established. Ivy League schools, we call them. They were Bible colleges. That's why 58% of the graduates in the first several decades of Harvard became preachers of the gospel. But they're now the havens that protest Israel. We're going to see that tonight. When a nation begins to neglect God, we become the leader in sin. And God says righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. We are the leading country in the world for abortion. That's a very kind word for wholesale slaughter of babies. Abortion. America, the only nation in the world that was established as a Christian nation. The nation that three times our Supreme Court has indicated this is a Christian nation. We coins and currency, in God we trust. One nation under God, God Jehovah. I pledged allegiance to that flag, but we're a leader in abortion. Last year, we had more babies born into fatherless homes than any country in the world. More babies were born to fatherless homes than those were born with a father in the home. I think of our country, euthanasia, it's cry of the day. You determine when you want to die. You determine how you want to die, and it's legal to do so. I think of drugs, they run freely. And we have states and we have cities like San Francisco that bring the drugs to your encampment. Foolish people. It's amazing how stupid people can become when sin begins to reign. It's amazing that we go on the school campuses and teach children how they can have immorality and keep themselves safe. It's amazing that you can go and begin transgenderism and learn how to change your body without parental approval. It's an amazing thing that the government thinks that your children belong to them and not to the parent. Crimes go unpunished. 8.5 million people the last 3.5 years have entered into this nation and not vetted. We don't know what's here. We don't know what disease is here. We don't know what crimes are here. We don't know what gangs are here. We have no idea what terrorist groups have come in, because we have had a president that says to the patrol and the security, you cannot stop people from coming. What a foolish nation. But the consequences cannot be laid at Mr. Biden's door. The consequences that were experienced cannot be laid at the media's door. The consequences cannot be blamed on Hollywood. The consequences that were experienced is because of the failure of the New Testament local church and the failure of Christians. We have to plead with people and stay faithful to church in America. Most choirs in churches have not started again since COVID because people don't want to take the time. There's very little orchestras, if any, very few. The buses are not running. I can tell you this tonight, our nation is not producing people for young people for Bible college. We used to sing, give of thy sons to bear the message glorious. By and large, most people don't want their kids in the ministry. I don't want my son to be a preacher. I don't want my son to go to Trinidad. No, are you kidding? My grandkids? Yeah, that's going to be a hard departure for the Sousleys. That's a hard situation to face. Our kids just moved as far as Newport Beach and Phoenix, Arizona, surprise. And I tell you what, I miss those 10 grandkids so badly. We have 4 that are left here. My heart aches, I can't be with them. Abigail, your dad right there, it has to be hard to see your grandkids here and you're in Indiana. Difficult. Why don't we want to give our kids to God? My wife would tell me all the time, I'd rather see our kids halfway around the world living in the will of God than living right next door to us and out of the will of God. Amen. We'd come home and I'd see the grandkids. I'd see their bicycles on the porch, on the driveway. I'd see the kids at our house. We had all those years we served together, my two sons and their pastors and our son-in-law, he was the principal here. We had such great, 22 of us, great family gatherings together all the time. I look forward to Sunday night. You've told you this before, Brother Ryan Thompson, our son-in-law, he can create a stir. That's his way of doing things. And he can mock me, and my son Tim joins right in. And those guys my bloopers from preaching, Sunday night after church, I thought it was funny. I think it's the greatest thing. They never meant anything vicious by it. It was just family. I miss those nights. Now I go home and my wife just yells at me. You know, why don't you want to give your kids to God? My Bible says they're an heritage of God. God deposited in your care. I know I could say it was my prayer. I believe it was my wife's prayer also. Every day of my life, I never told our kids, all of our kids have gone into the ministry. I never told them, you're going to go be a pastor. You're going to serve the Lord. You're going to do this. I never told them one time. I never told them I was praying for it. I never prayed that in front of them. But I would beg God, oh God, let us raise up children for you. And I must say, Lord, I don't want them to go to the mission field. I don't want them to leave us and not be here. Our son was our youth pastor and assistant pastor here for 12 years. He'd preach once a month on a Sunday night, once a month on Sunday morning. Ah, those were great days. And Brother Ryan, I can't remember, but many years he was with us here, got saved here, baptized here, through our school here, through our college. And so many years, my right-hand man, I put so much on him. I tell you, I didn't want them to leave, but I want them in the will of God. Amen. I find very little in America where people say, praise God, my son feels the touch of God to serve him. I look at where we're at, and my generation has totally failed you. My generation gave us rock music, and now it's in the church. My generation gave us marijuana, gave us LSD, and gave us 1963, no prayer in school, 1962, no Bible in the school. My generation did that. My generation gave us the hippie movement. My generation gave us draft dodgers. My generation gave riots in the streets. My generation, we got married. If we would have had a when we had a baby, you could not have aborted the baby, killed the baby. It was against the law. But in 1974, it changed. Now we've been slaughtering babies. My generation gave us sodomy. My generation has given us no Sunday school. You're hard-pressed to find Sunday school in America. You got these little groups, little connection things that you say, well, he's preaching against me. You do what you want, but I'm going to tell you something. We're having Sunday school here. Amen. No prayer meeting. No, churches don't have prayer meetings. No bus ministry. No, here am I, Lord, send me. No, little to no door knocking, face to face. No service to God. Very little separation. We have failed. I'll get to my text. We have failed our churches with narcissistic people. We failed our churches with narcissism, with drama people. Everything's a drama. Moody people. Carnal. And I'm not trying to be harsh. This is the greatest church in all the world. Worldly people, selfish people, self-centered people, play, party, all of it. one and done. My kids are mine. I don't want them in the ministry. Angry people, gossiping, internet people. And we're seeing the results in America, lawless crime, rampant sin. We're in Deuteronomy 28. And tonight, as we see that when a nation forgets God, when a nation forgets God, they lose the blessings of God tonight. The Bible says in verse number 1 of chapter 28. Let's read verse 1 and 2 together, shall we? And we'll continue later. The Bible says this. Ready? Begin.
And it shall come to pass.
The Bible speaks about the blessings. Verse 2, the blessings shall come on thee. Verse 3, blessed thou shalt be in the city. Blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy ground and the fruit of the cattle and the increase of the kind, that is the cows and the flocks of the sheep. And blessed be the basket and the store. And blessed shall be when thou comest in. And blessed shall be when thou goest out. In verse 8, the Lord shall command the blessings upon thee, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And verse number 12, and the Lord opened unto his good treasure in heaven, give rain unto the land in the season to bless the work. God says, I will bless you. Do you know when we do God's will, when we obey, as he says, you do my commandments, when you obey my commandments, I will give you a blessing. God says, blessed is the nation. He'll bless us. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. If the church would put God back in our lives, God says in Genesis chapter 12, I will bless them. Speaking of God's people toward Israel and a nation toward Israel, I'll bless them that bless you, bless Israel, and I'll curse them that curse Israel. And all in Israel, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Mr. President, please, right now, if there's ever a time to stand with Israel for the blessings of God, it's now. But in our Bible colleges, Ivy League colleges, we're protesting Israel. And they're crying out, kill the Jew, kill the Jew. What is that about? We should not want to have anybody to kill anybody. We remove the blessing. The Bible says, blessed, Psalm 106, verse 3, are they that doeth righteousness. If I do right, God will bless me. Revelation 1, 3, blessed is he that readeth. God says, if I just read this book, he's going to bless me. Blessed are they that readeth, and heareth the words of this prophecy. And will do the words of this prophecy. God says, if you read it, if you listen to it being read, I believe by coming to church tonight, you're setting yourself up for a blessing. You're hearing the word of God. We've read the word of God. And if we do the word of God, and he says in verse 3, if we keep the word of God, keep it. God said, I'll bless you.
Amen.
Our scriptures tonight, the Bible says, blessed is the man, Psalm 1, blessed is the man. I'll bless the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. I'll bless that man that standeth not in the way of sinners. I'll bless that man that walketh not, what sitteth in the seat of the scornful. I'm not going to walk with scorners. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. I want to walk with good people, godly people. What God says, why? He'll put a blessing on my life. I think of what the scripture says in Matthew chapter 5, 3 through 11, the Beatitudes. Blessed are they when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner against you falsely For my sake, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Amen. God says, I have some blessings up there for you. My Bible says in Psalm 41, verse 1, blessed is he that considereth the poor. Brother Flood, thank you so much for the bus ministry tonight. Thank you for presenting to us something that God says, if I'll consider those kids, oh, I know some have Nikes and they have all the shoes and they have all that, but I guarantee it, he said at bus meeting yesterday, I guarantee it 99% do not have breakfast. He watches them get on their bus with Coke, candy, Cheetos. That's not a meal. The average bus kid, the average, some are from good homes, I'm certain, but the average bus kid has no idea what it is to have a family meal at night. Amen. I was busy all day yesterday. Finally got home last night for dinner, and I hadn't seen my wife all day. And I tell you what, we had she made the chicken. It was delicious. And mashed potatoes and gravy and green peas and salad. And I thought, but I eat like a king every night. You know, most kids don't eat that. There's no dad to have, let's have a word of prayer. There's no mama that's been slaving over it. There's no family table. You raise good kids from a family table.
Amen.
God says, blessed is he, James 1, 12, that endureth temptation, trials. God says he'll bless you if you go through these trials. He'll bless you. I want the blessings of God for this church. I want it for your life. Notice what he says in chapter 1, verse 3. And I'll try to be quick. In chapter 1, we're talking about when a nation forgets God, they lose the blessings of God. And all these blessings shall come on thee. These good things, these happy things. Blessing is to be joy and happiness and have the blessings of God, the gifts of God upon your life. And he says, blessed shalt thou be in the city. Blessed shalt thou be in the city. Largest city in America is New York City, followed by Los Angeles, followed by Chicago. I love Chicago. My wife's from about 70 miles from Chicago. I love Illinois. I love Wisconsin. I was born there and then came out here so many years ago in 1953. I want to tell you something. I love Chicago and Wisconsin. But Chicago has more murders, third largest city in America, than the first two combined. More than Los Angeles and New York City put together. Over 1,000 murders on the streets, about 3 a day. It could be a little child. It could be an elderly lady, an elderly man. It could be a couple. It could be a gang. It could be, who knows what it is, a teenager being gunned down on the streets. Your beautiful area. You live in Indiana, just a beautiful place. What a wonderful place to raise kids, and what a wonderful place to serve God. And God's doing things in your church. I know all that. But God says, I'll bless your city. You think of these 10 largest cities, and it's New York and Los Angeles and Chicago and Houston and Phoenix and Philadelphia and San Antonio and San Diego and Dallas and Jacksonville, Florida, the 10 largest. San Jose is the 13th largest. But lawlessness reigns on those streets. Lawlessness and crime and drugs flowing in the streets. I've been in almost, I guess, all those states, all those cities, and I've preached in almost every one of them. And I'll tell you this for sure, you don't want to walk downtown at night. And you don't want to walk downtown in most places in the day. God says, when I remove my blessing, there's curse. He'll deal with that later in this chapter. We won't have time tonight. He said, I'll bless the city. I remember this entire region here being farms, even when my wife and I came here, but just as a kid, all this was farms. Brother Manley, I remember one time you saying, you remember there was no 880, but you remember at 101 when there were stop signs. And you just, it's such a good area. It was such a nice area. It was a farming area. Amen. They say it was the most fertile farmland in the world, followed by Israel. Similar weather, similar patterns. As we have to the north, the Fertile Crescent of Oregon and Washington, they have the Fertile Crescent to the north. To the south, as we have the desert, they have the desert. To the west, they have the Mediterranean, as we have the ocean. And to the right, we go to the desert in Nevada and Utah. And that's what they, and the same type of weather. Our fertile soil. Our soil here is not producing anything. Why? There's a curse on the city. So I'm going to move. Where? Houston? Where are you going to move to find? The cities have a curse on them. The blessings of God have been removed. And God says when we obey his word, there's a blessing on the city. And he said there's a blessing in the field. Crops that are produced. This area used to be fruit trees everywhere. I remember the one time my mother and aunt got a job in Centerville. They went to the farming area, and they'd pick up apricots, and they had these pair of these knives, and they cut the apricots in half. And we had a flat top house, and my uncle and my dad, they would put those on 4x8 pieces of wood and then take them upstairs and let them dry out. They had dried, and they got paid per apricot. Cherries were here, and avocados were here, and fruit trees of all kind were here. Oh my goodness. God says, I'll bless the field. Look what verse 4. I'll bless the fruit of your body. That is your health and your strength and your offspring. And the fruit of the ground. And the fruit of the cattle. And the increase of the kine or the cow. And the flocks of the sheep. He said, no, I'll bless your basket and thy store. Your pantry, your food. He says in verse number 6, I'll bless when you come in. I love going home. I just love it. I love just seeing my wife. I don't know what kind of mood she's in, so I always open the door, throw my hat in. If it comes flying back, I sleep out in the garage all night. You know how women are. Where do they learn it? From men. I tell you what. I love coming home to that lady. I love our nightly 10, 15 minute ride into Santa Clara all around here. We'll sometimes we'll ride up on the hill and look over the valley. I love those times with her. I want you to know, God says, when you come in, I love coming into the house. I love coming into this house. Amen. I just love it. I'll be in here sometime tomorrow, I know, and it'd be dark and it'd be empty. But I always envision it like tonight, balconies filled and people up there in the lower floor. I love coming in here. I love coming, and he says, you're going out. You're going out. And he says, I'll bless you on your storehouses. That which you save up for the seasons to follow. And I'll bless you in the land, USA. I love USA. Verse 13, And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. America used to lead the way. We were the head, we weren't the tail. We led the way in mathematics. We led the way in science. We led the way. Everything that's been created was created in America. Kitty Hawk. The airplane came from America. The locomotives, you think of all that came from America. The computer came from the Silicon Valley. It wasn't the Silicon Valley. Came right here from Palo Alto. Right here, 1959. The telephone came from America. The phonograph came from America. The telewoman came from America. I mean, it all came from America. The internet came from Al Gore. And God says, you'll be the head, not the tail. Thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. But here's the key. If thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which he command me this day to observe and to do them. Well, then why did we kick this Bible out of the school? God says, the performance is my responsibility. I have to obey this book. Teenagers, you have to obey this book. And then he stays pointed. Look what he says, secondly, how pointed he is. Stay focused. Verse 14, and thou shalt know, you shall not go aside from any of the words which are command me this day, to the right, to the left. Go after other gods. Stay focused. Stay pointed. This one thing I do. And look at the person. Verse 14. And thou shalt not go aside from the words which they command me this day. To the right hand, to the left hand. Go after them other gods. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do his commandments, his statutes, all I command you, then curses are going to come. I tell you tonight, as we're thinking about when a nation forgets God, we lose the blessing of God. You hear that everything they touch turns to gold. We lose that. The greatest churches in America came out of World War II. And during World War II, those 10 largest churches in America, all Baptist churches, we're running 4,000, 5,000, 7,000, preaching the word, going soul winning, running buses, running wagons, doing whatever they do to get people to the house of God. Those cities now are tearing down those buildings. Chattanooga, Canton, Akron, all the cities across America where the great churches were being raised up and guided the nation. I stood where J. Frank Norris had his building in Fort Worth, Texas. I see the place where he's laid to rest. And J. Frank, I was preaching at the school down there years ago. J. Frank Norris pastored two churches at the same time. For 13 years, he pastored one in Detroit and one in Fort Worth, the two largest churches in America. On Sunday night in Fort Worth, he'd have the Philharmonic Orchestra playing in the services. Had the huge Bible college there, sending out through his seminary men and women around the world. Most of you would not remember the word John Birch. And I'm not advertising for the John Birch Society because John Birch would not even want it. It's an American right-wing movement, and it was good at one time, but it's so liberal now. John Birch was the first graduate of J. Frank Norris's college. J. Frank Norris guided United States presidents. John Birch went to China and was behind the wall in China and was giving information to America. It was an amazing thing. He was there as a missionary. But J. Frank Norris, you didn't know if he was going to be preaching by rail. He went to Detroit, or by rail. He went to Fort Worth, but he had two men in both locations. Ensminger was down there in Texas, and G.B. Vick, I've been in that church with him. I've preached, I've sung there at that church. A big Temple Baptist church, empty. Pontiac, Michigan, the great church, Tom Malone, empty. No one there. They say you look in the lobby, there's a picture of Dr. Tom Malone and Joyce laying on the ground. Empty. No one there. Not open. 385,000 churches in America. Millions and millions and billions of dollars to build these buildings across America. And most of them are dark on Sunday night because it's one and done. I was preaching in another state. The pastor was driving me to the meeting. And he said, let me take a little detour here. He said, that church right there, they run about 7,000. And it said right there on the sign, Saturday night service. You see, the goal was to get it done with, that you had your Sunday. And they make the announcement, we want you to have Sunday. So you get it over with on Saturday night. The next church run about 7,000. It's Friday. So if you want to go to the snow, you have Saturday and Sunday. The next church I saw, huge, thousands. Thursday. You can get the religious thing, the God thing, get it out of the way on Thursday. Then you have Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And if it's a holiday, you got Monday. So you don't have to interrupt your schedule with God. Let's stand together, please. As we stand together tonight, when a nation forgets God, she loses her blessings. I don't want that for you. Our Father, I love these people so much, and they're wonderful people, just wonderful people, godly people, serving people. What a crowd tonight. Churches like this should be opened everywhere, all over America tonight. It's all over America. Lights going. Lord, I just am going to ask your people to cry out to thee. There'd be a revival and a return to thee, and may it start in this auditorium. In my life, send a great revival to my soul. Save the unsaved tonight, those that watch and those that are here. And God, it would be my prayer that you would do something great in these next 7 weeks together. When a nation forgets God, help us to bring God back into it. That God, you might be preeminent as this pulpit has engraved on it.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.